in 2 Samuel chapter 10, where Chuck read a moment ago, David and the nation of Israel were just winning battle after battle. They were being victorious. And everything, every nation that came against them and every land that they went into, God just gave them victory after victory. And the people of Ammon, actually, when David had won a certain victory, the king of Ammon had sent ambassadors to David to congratulate him because he was at war with the people that David defeated. And they had, you might call it, an okay relationship. And when the king of Ammon died, David sent ambassadors to comfort his son, who had taken over as king. And the young ruler had some young advisors who gave him some bad advice. And for the young people in the room, make sure that you get your advice from people that are going to give you good advice. Make sure you get your advice and your counsel from people that have been there and know how the end of the road, what's at the end of the road when you turn down a certain fork. I would caution you about taking advice from people your own age. They don't know what happens. They haven't lived it just like you have. And so the young king of Ammon had some young advisors, and they said, look, David's not sending his ambassadors to comfort you on the death of your dad. He's sending his ambassadors here so that he can spy out the country and see our weakness. And so they took, this young king of Ammon took these ambassadors and treated them, he insulted them and treated them very badly. And they went home. Word got back to David about this. And the king of young king of Ammon said, well, David's going to come and punish us because of the way that we treated his ambassador. And so he went and hired the Syrians to join up with him. And they had a joint army of the Ammonites and the Syrians. And they came against the nation of Israel. That's what's happening in 2 Samuel chapter 10. And when David saw it, he called Joab, who was his general, and said, Joab, get all the valiant men. Let's call the army together. We're going to go out and fight against this army. God's going to give us the victory, but you go ahead and lead the army. They were badly outnumbered. I mean, when Joab got out there and he saw all the army from Ammon and he saw all the Syrians, he said, man, they got a lot more people than we got, a lot more soldiers than we have. But by the way, that's when God, don't you ever, when you're an underdog and when the circumstances are piling up on you, you praise God because that's when God's about to work in your life. God likes it when his people are an underdog. God likes it when his people are outnumbered. God likes it when the circumstances of life are piling up on his people. And a lot of people think, why, man, if God loved me, why would he let this happen to me? Why would he let all these circumstances, and I know there's some in the room this morning, this is exactly where you are, why would God let all these circumstances come into my life and just pile up on top of me? And doesn't God love me? Yes, he does love you, and he's about to do something in your life to show you again that he's God. And that he can still work when all this, when you're outnumbered and when the circumstances of life are piled up. That, in fact, is when God works the best. Because when you're at the point in your life when you can think you can do it yourself, God says, all right, go ahead and do it yourself. But when you're at the end of the rope and you don't know how you're going to make it and you're outnumbered, that's when God says, hey, I can be God. I'm going to work in their life. And so Joab says, we're outnumbered, but we got a God who's God. So he divides the army between himself and his brother Abishai. He said, Abishai, I'm going to give you this amount of men, and I want you to go fight the Ammonites. If they're too much for you, I'll come and help you. I'll keep this group of men, and we'll fight the Syrians. And if they're too much for me, then you come and help me. And then he said in verse 12, to not only Abishai, but to the whole army, he says, be of good courage and let us play the men for our people and for the cities of our God. And the Lord do that which seemeth him good. What Joab was saying was, when he said, And the title of my message this morning is that little phrase that says, play the men. Where Joab says to all the soldiers, let us play the men. What he was saying is, let's act like men. Let's play the role that God has given us to play. We're men in the Lord's army, and we need to be men, and we need to be exactly what God made us to be. Be men. Now, to finish setting the table for my message this morning, before I serve up the main course, I'm going to turn over to Psalm chapter 8, and I want to read the whole Psalm, just 9 verses, you listen. O Lord, our Lord, how excellent is thy name in all the earth, who has set thy glory above the heavens. Out of the mouth of babes and sucklings thou hast ordained strength because of thine enemies, that thou mightest fill the enemy and the avenger. When I consider the heavens, the work of thy fingers, the moon and the stars, which thou hast ordained, what is man that thou art mindful of him, and the son of man that thou visitest him? For thou hast made him a little lower than the angels, and hast crowned him with glory and honor. Thou madest him to have dominion over the works of thy hand. Thou hast put all things under his feet, all sheep and oxen, yea, and the beasts of the field, the fowls of the air and the fish of the sea, and whatsoever passeth through the pass of the sea. O Lord, our Lord, how excellent is thy name in all the earth. Four kinds of life. Say, where are you going with this message? Just hang on, I'm about to get there. There's four kinds of life. There's plant life. There's animal life. There's human being kind of life. And there's God life. Plant life, animal life, human life, God life. God made us as man. And I use that term not as men, the sex men, but as for all of us as mankind. God made us human beings. He made us man. He did not make us animals. He did not make us God. He made us man. My message this morning is the title of my message, and the title is all the same. It's that little phrase, play the men. Play the part that God made you to play. My message this morning is inspired by a trip that I made to the mall a couple, three Saturdays ago. One of the warm Saturday afternoons that we had. I was sitting on one of the benches in the mall, and I was waiting. I won't tell you who I was waiting for to protect her identity, but it was a female that is very closely related to me. And I spent a large part of my life in that same position, waiting. But I was waiting for her. And I was just noticing who and what was passing through the mall. And I came to the conclusion, you know what? You don't have to go to the zoo anymore to see the animals. All you have to do, all you have to do is go to the mall on Saturday afternoon. I was sitting there and I was thinking, you know, maybe I've come to the wrong conclusion about evolution. Maybe Darwin was right. Maybe evolution is true, because in the space of 2 hours where I was sitting on that bench, I saw a lot of what I might describe as missing links. And this morning, I'll just clear it up right now. I don't believe in evolution. I don't believe that Darwin was right. I don't believe that mankind evolved from the animals. But I do believe that mankind, in many, many instances, is refusing to play the role that God gave them to play. You see, what mankind does and what mankind chooses to do is not play the role that God chose them to play. They want to either move downward and play the role of an animal, or they want to move upwards and play the role of God. And this morning, my message is, don't play either one of those roles. Don't you move down into the animal kingdom. God didn't make you to be an animal. He made you to be a man. Don't try to be an animal. And on the other hand, God did not make you to be a god. He made you to be a man. Don't get over into God's territory. You stay in the territory where He put you. You be exactly what He made you play the man. Play the role. Be what God made you to be. Now I'm going to share a few observations that I made in the mall that Saturday afternoon. Some things you ought not to do. You say, Brother Jerry, are you mad at somebody? No, I'm not mad at anybody. I mean, as I look across the room this morning, I'm happy with what I see, the way that our teenagers and our young people are dressed and the way they conduct themselves. I'll tell you who I'm preaching to this morning. I'm preaching to all the parents of the little kids that went out into the fellowship hall. Because the pressure on them and the pressure on you is just going to grow and grow and grow. The world would like to get a hold of your kids and mold them into the kind of kids with the kind of priorities that the world wants them to have. And tonight, one of my points is, it's not the world's responsibility to teach your kids how to dress and how to act and how to behave. It's not the school's responsibility. It's not even the church's responsibility. It's yours, mom and dad. And so this morning, I want to sound a wake-up call to all of you that have little children. And I want to sound a wake-up call to you that still have young teenagers. And I want to sound a wake-up call to you that are grandparents of those children. You need to keep the world out of their life. Let them be men. Let them be mankind. Let them be human beings. Don't let them go down to where the animals are. That's what the world wants them to do. And don't let them go up to where God is. I'll get to that in a minute. We're not animals. Let me just share with you a few observations that if I was going to preach, you know, and I started to stand up on the bench and see if I could get an audience, but I figured since they won't let you pass out tracts in the mall, they'd probably arrest me if I started preaching in the mall. But here's what I would say to some of those that I saw pass in the mall. Number one, don't smell like an animal. You don't have to smell like some animal that lives in a barnyard. I mean, there's soap and there's water. Figure out how to use it. And if you're going to go out into a public place, then clean up and smell good. Now you say, Brother Darrell, well, sometimes I'm working and I'm sweating. I don't have time to take a bath. I need to go get something. Well, then get you a can of 79-cent deodorant and spray yourself down before you go out into the mall. I mean, take that Chanel No. 5 and dump a little bit of it here and there so that when other people come in contact with you or come close to you, they don't smell what you might smell if you go to a barn. You're not an animal. You're a human being. Act like it. Number two, don't dress or undress like an animal. It was shocking to me to sit in a public, I haven't been to a mall in a long time. Pete, you probably see this all. I haven't been to a mall in a long time. It was amazing and shocking to me, and it was a warm, it was one of those warm Saturdays we had not too long ago. It was amazing to me. I mean, I thought I was at the beach. I mean, if I was going to rate what I saw, I'd rate it a big X. If I had my son with me, I'm glad he wasn't there, I'd have to take him out. Because there were things that, there were parts of bodies being shown that should not be shown. I mean, don't undress. I mean, don't put clothes on. I don't know how else to say it. Put some clothes on. God didn't make you to run around in your birthday suit. I mean, he wants you to dress when you go. You say, Brother Darrell, this sure is a strange sermon. Well, you ain't heard the rest of it yet. Just hang on. Put some clothes on. The other thing that amazed me is where people are piercing their bodies now. I almost got sick to my stomach when I saw where people were putting these earrings and these rings and these things that dangle. I mean, every part of the body. And I'm okay with a pierced ear, but man, don't. And I'm not even going to mention some of the other places where they had things hanging from. You're not an animal. You're a human being. Use the brain that God gave you. If he wanted things dangling from your cheeks and from other parts of your body, he would have put a hole there. You don't need to do it. And then I won't even go, I don't have time because I want to get to the second part of my message. I won't even go into some of the hairstyles that I saw on Saturday. I mean, there was one that I thought, this person is like a peacock. I mean, their hair was standing up just like this. And I said, Lord, Lord, I might... What was that? No, that wasn't Dave. Dave's hair looked good compared to some of the people I saw. And I thought to myself, maybe I'm just getting old. Maybe it's because I've reached that right peak. Maybe I've reached that stage in life. I said, no, God didn't make us to be like this. He didn't, and look, and he didn't make us to act like an animal. There were two teenage girls, probably 14 or 15, got into a fight over something and started throwing food at one another in the hall, in the hallway of the mall there. God didn't make us to fight like animals. Reminded me of when I went and visited my friend in Ohio, had a bunch of little banty chickens or roosters running around. All they did is spend all day pecking each other. That's what I was reminded of when I saw those two girls take off at one another in the mall. God did not make us to be animals. He made us to be human beings. Don't move downward into the animal world. And I'll tell you what, parents that have young children, that's where the world wants your kids to go. The other thing that I saw that I could not believe, I've never seen this before, and I didn't know this was the style. The baggy pants that the boys wear. Man, there was a couple of them, I just wanted to go over and grab them and pull up their pants. Or buy them a pair of suspenders. I was afraid they were going to fall. Now look, what I'm trying to say this morning, and I'm glad you guys are finding this funny, because I'm going to get to the rough part in just a minute and let you have it. God did not make us to be an animal. Play the part of men. You be a human being. You decide, I don't care what the world says. I don't care what the people that design fashion says. I don't care what the crowd says. God made me to be a human being. I'm going to look like one. And I'm going to act like one. And if you're the only one in your crowd that does that, then you go ahead and do it because it's right and God will honor you. You're not an animal. Quit trying to be like one. And then number two, you're not a God. God made you to be a man. Make a couple points. Number one, you cannot save yourself. And maybe not too many of us this morning say, well, I want to move downward over here to be an animal. But I tell you what, there's a lot of us that want to move this direction and be a God. I want to tell you something this morning. God didn't make you to be a God. He made you to be a man. You're not God. And the first point I want to make under that is you cannot save yourself. Don't you depend on your good works. Don't you depend on a group of people getting together and forming a church and say, well, I'm going to join that church and that'll take me to heaven. Not on your life it will. It won't do it. Don't think that you can get in this tank up here and get baptized or take communion and think that's going to make you right with God. You are not a God. You don't get to decide how to get right with God. God decides how to get right with Him. And He said there's only one way to get right with me, and that's coming through Jesus. Jesus said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh to the Father but by me. And I don't care how smart you are, how much education you have, how good you are, don't make yourself a God and change the plan of salvation because you'll end up in hell. There's only one way to get right with God. That's to come through Him. In Acts chapter 4, verse 12, the Bible says, neither is there salvation in any other, for there is none other name under heaven given among men whereby we must be saved except the name of Jesus. That's the only way that you get right with God. Quit trying to play God and come to God His way. Quit trying to think of your way. Second point I want to make under that we're not gods is this. You're not always right. There's only one person that's always been right. Not you. It's me. I just wanted to see if you were listening. It's not me either. There's only one person that's always been right, and that's God. Let's not get to the point in our lives where we put ourselves in the place of God and say, hey, I'm going to make my own decisions and I'm going to chart the course of my own life. Why should we do that when we don't know the answers? Why don't we go to the one that knows all the answers and let Him help us make our decisions and let Him help us chart our life and let Him help us make our plans? What a waste when we put ourselves in God's place and say, I know what's best for myself and I know what's good for myself. Why don't you just get down off the pedestal? You're not God, but God is. And He'll help you. I tell you what, He'll help you make your decisions. And He'll help you chart the course of your life. And there are people in this room this morning, if we had time, could stand and testify. When I tried to run my life, it was a mess. But when I gave it over to God, I have blessings untold. Things that have happened to me that I cannot believe because I gave my life to Jesus. And then number three, you're not God. You're not worthy of praise. It feels pretty good when somebody tells you, good job. We ought to do that to one another every now and then. But don't get your expectation up that you're worthy of praise and like God. When Peter went to Cornelius, Cornelius fell at his knees to worship him. Peter said, get up, I'm a man just like you. When Paul and Barnabas were in Lystra and they healed a person, and the people said, the gods have come down to us, and they began to worship them, Paul said, no, we're not God, we're men just like you. We ought to take the position that we don't want any
God's blessings.
Give to Jesus. Any glory that we get, we should give to Jesus. Any good things that's said about us, we ought to deflect them to Jesus. Because He's the source of all good things. You couldn't do that good thing in your life if it wasn't for Jesus. Give Him the praise. I'm going to turn back to Psalm chapter 8. Because I want to tell you something. God put us in a pretty good position. He said, I made, what is man that thou art mindful of him, and the son of man that thou visitest him? For thou hast made him a little lower than the angels, and hast crowned him with glory and honor. Thou madest him to have dominion over the works of thy hands. Thou hast put all things under his feet, all sheep and oxen, yea, and the beasts of the fields, the fowls of the air, and the fish of the sea, and whatsoever passeth through the paths of the sea. Look, God put you in a position. He made you a human being. He made you a man, and everything you see around you, God made for you. I mean, look at all of nature. God made that for us. All the animals, God made that for us. All the beautiful things that we've enjoyed this past week as spring is starting, God made for us. Don't go down and be an animal. Don't go up and be a god. Be what God made you. Man, be a human. You're the one that Jesus came for. You're the one that He lived for when He walked the face of this earth for 33 some years. You're the one that He went to the cross for. You're the one that He died for. And you're the one that He is living again for at the right hand of the Father. I think we have a pretty good position to be a man. Amen. I think God's put us in a wonderful spot. You don't go down, and don't let your kids go down. Don't let Satan draw them down. You keep them from acting and being like an animal. And then you don't go up. Don't try to play God. God can take care of everything that needs to be taken care of. You just stay in the spot that God puts you, and you be a human being that thanks God. You be a human being that says, I'm not going to be God. I'm going to come to God and worship God the way that He tells me. You're here this morning and you've never received Christ as your Savior. The first step that you need to take is to come and trust Him. Come and tell Him that you're a sinner. That you're depending on what He did for you on Calvary to make you right. Every single person in this room has never made that decision. I want to tell you something. Nothing else in your life is going to work until you take care of that. It won't. I mean, you by the world standards, you could go out and have a pretty good life. But if you try to do it without a relationship with God, your life will be wasted. And this morning, if you don't know Jesus, I would like to invite you to come. Let's introduce you to the best friend that you ever had. You don't know him yet. You'll get to know Him. Just simply come and trust what you're not getting. Let's pray together. Father, thank you.